The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Taoiseach Leo Varadkar is set to meet the UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson for Brexit talks today, as the Prime Minister battles to win over EU leaders who are all sceptical about his proposals. The EU's chief Brexit negotiator, Michel Barnier, said yesterday that the UK's current proposals on the Irish border are not something that can be accepted. But earlier in the day, speaking to Sky News, he said that he still thinks a deal could be possible.
In any case, the EU will remain calm, vigilant, respectful and constructive.
Do you think the British have been respectful?
The technical talks continue and I have invited for working lunch Steve Barclay tomorrow. That's all. Thank you very much.
Is the deal still possible?
Thank you. I think the deal is possible and very difficult, but possible.
Meanwhile, in the European Parliament, the leader of the Brexit Party, Nigel Farage, hit out at Liberal Democrat MEP Judith Bunting for her assertion about the reality of the Brexit vote in 2016.
Yes, the country voted, the UK voted to leave the EU, but they didn't know what they were voting on and they were misled.
You patronising, snuck-up snob. How dare you? They knew exactly what they were voting for. They were voting against 50 years of people like you lying to them. They did it. You promised. You'd enact it. And you, the Lib Dems and others, have betrayed the greatest democratic exercise in the history of our nation.
Former Foreign Secretary and former Conservative leadership contender Jeremy Hunt, he accused the EU of not understanding what's happening in British politics right now.
We're about to see a catastrophic failure in statecraft. Not because of malevolence by the EU, I think they are sincere in wanting a deal, but just because they haven't really understood what's happening in British politics right now. And there is bureaucratic inertia. If you're trying to get 27 countries to agree a common position, the easiest thing is always to do nothing. And that's the risk we face.
Why do you think that is? I mean, you say they're misunderstanding what's going on here. What do you mean by that?
Because they're torn between the pragmatism that says that it is massively in the interest of European businesses to get a deal. Ireland saying there must be absolutely no compromise on the backstop. Of course, it is politically very difficult for Varadkar to compromise on the backstop. But in the end, true statesmanship, real diplomacy, isn't just getting 26 EU countries to line up behind you. It is actually finding a way for the Belfast Good Friday Agreement to sit alongside Brexit. And if Ireland's real objective here is to keep Britain in the single market, or keep Northern Ireland in the single market, or reverse Brexit, then we're not going to find a solution. And that will be when we have the real risk to peace.
And that's Jeremy Hunt. Well, to talk about all of this, MP for Twickenham and former leader of the Liberal Democrats, Sir Vince Cable, is on the line. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Now, first of all, motivation. What do you think Boris Johnson's motivation is in having these talks with Taoiseach Leo Varadkar? After all, they've spoken on the telephone at least twice this week and for an hour virtually each time.
Well, I think, I don't know Mr. Johnson personally, and I don't know what's going on in his head, but I think that they're internally divided about what to do. There is part of the government, and people attribute this to Mr. Gove, but maybe part of Johnson himself, who genuinely wants an agreement. And there is another part led by this notorious character, Mr. Cummings, who clearly don't want an agreement and want to fight on a, you know, last-ditch, no-deal basis. And I don't think that issue is completely resolved within the government or indeed within Johnson's mind.
Now, you are suggesting that they want to fight, which means they expect, and we all do, I suppose, a British general election in the coming weeks. But that would presuppose that you think an extension will have to happen.
Yes. I mean, it is the law. And despite all the wriggling and posturing, that on the British side, that is clearly now a commitment to request an extension. I don't see why the European Union would refuse one, but they might well insist that this is the last and that it is conditional on Britain holding a general election or a referendum to resolve the issue.
It also might be that they would, for example, say January 31st is too soon. By the time you have a general election, a campaign and so on, which could be up to 5 weeks long, you have midterm holidays, you have Christmas, you have... I mean, how much work would actually get done before January 31st? Suppose the EU said, we'll give you an extension, but it's next June.
Well, it could be, yes. I mean, we've had this postponed several times, and the part of the problem with Britain at the moment is that Parliament and government are completely paralysed because of uncertainty, and you may be right. We may be talking about next June. We could be talking about 2022. I mean, this could go on the British side. This could go on and on and on. But I think the current mood is that there has to be a general election to clear the air, even if it finishes up with a result not greatly different from the one we've got.
So the air will not be very clear if such an outcome.
Won't. I think the one certain consequence is that my party will make a significant advance because we're giving a very clear anti-Brexit message. And people are rallying around that. I think it's also very clear the Labour Party will lose ground, but, you know, we don't know. The dynamics are fickle.
Now, one of the worst outcomes for your party would be that if somehow, out of the ashes of all of these negotiations, Boris Johnson seizes a deal that he can sell to the DUP and the ERG, and then your party going into election as a Remain party, when the deal has been done, puts you very much on a limb, offering something that is no longer possible.
Well, first of all, what you describe might well happen. Indeed, I've often warned that it would, and that we are going to be confronted with a bad deal. And let's be very clear. I mean, the Liberal Democrats, and indeed many other people, have voted against the withdrawal agreement and the deal reached with Mrs. May and potentially with Boris Johnson, not because of the backstop, we're perfectly happy with the backstop, but because what it will do is to create years of uncertainty while we negotiate a new trade agreement with the European Union. It's a blind Brexit, which offers no clarity for the future. It appears to commit Britain not to remaining within the single market and the customs union, which is the main economic benefits of it. So from our point of view, it's a thoroughly bad deal and we will oppose it. But you may be right that it could happen. I think in that case, my party will simply point out the problems which are coming over the horizon if we do get committed to this deal. I think a lot of anti-Brexit voters will stay with us. And we've made it very clear we want Britain to remain closely tied to the European Union. There is a big constituency in Britain for that.
Now, we played remarks just briefly of your MEP suggesting that the public didn't know what they were voting for when the referendum was called. And I think most of us would probably go along with that assertion. But somehow many Remainers, it would appear, have changed their minds. You know, they just want to get the Brexit business done. No doubt some Brexiteers have changed their minds and would prefer to remain.
Not true, actually.
No, I'm just saying that the opinion is in flux, that there are some Remainers who flipped.
And that's correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering, is the difference so significant that if you were to go for Remain, that it wouldn't cause the same kind of divisions that going for a Brexit is causing now?
Well, your description of what's happening is true in one sense. There is quite a lot of flux. People are changing their mind in both directions. But the polling that has been done is quite categorical that there is a significant shift taking place to Remain, a significant majority who think that the vote for Brexit was a mistake. And this is partly because of demography. You know, we're getting young people coming into the voters' roll. Overwhelmingly for remaining in the European Union. So the balance of the population shifting. And even amongst those who voted, there is a shift in the belief that leaving was a mistake. So there's flux in both directions, but it's very clear what the trend is. And if we had the referendum again, there is a high likelihood we would vote to remain.
Some of the textures from my listeners suggesting that Boris is just setting up Leo Varadkar for a photo op so he can blame Leo Varadkar for the failure of these talks. It's likely that in portions of the Tory press that's going to happen anyway, even without a photograph from Cheshire.
Yes, it's not clear what the photograph would signify. If you're familiar with the debate in Britain, I think it's very difficult for the British to portray the Irish as big bad guys in this. To the extent to which chauvinism is being whipped up, it's directed, as always, against the Germans. There was a bit of that a few days ago. I think Mr. Johnson hasn't yet made up his mind whether to go for the no deal or to try to get some kind of agreement. I think he's split in his own mind. His party is split. The country is split.
There was a report this morning that Andrea Leadsom was suggesting that they will simply send two letters, the letters they are bound to send to Europe under the Benn Act, requesting an extension, and then follow it up with another letter saying, by the way, you can now ignore the first letter because we've changed our minds.
Well, that's stupid, and everybody who's thinking about this realises it's a silly suggestion, and the European Commission are not idiots. I mean, they know very well what's going on, and that kind of game playing doesn't satisfy anybody. The simple point is that the law of the land now is that the government should approach the European Union and request an extension. That's the end of it. Mm.
So do you see any prospect of what your party will be running on in the next election remain, that there could be such, after 3 years of torment in British public discourse, that there could be a complete reversal and Remain might win the day?
Well, it is possible. And indeed, bookmakers give us a chance of making the first real breakthrough for 80 years since the old Liberal Party were a major force in the land. It could happen. It's a long haul. It requires getting from a party of what was 12 MPs, now 19, growing by the week, to over 300. So it's quite a stretch. But with the very volatile mood in the UK, anything is possible. If you follow British football, you remember the case of Leicester City, who won the Premier League. Mm-hmm. And that kind of thing can happen in politics.
Yeah, they're a bit adrift this year, but they're doing well, Leicester City. Just one final question about the future of politics. I mean, we know that the famous Liberal Party came to a demise with the rise of the Labour Party, giving us the two main parties. But the Liberal Party survived, allied with the Social Democrats to give us the Lib Dems. Is there a possibility, given what's happened in Parliament and the dissociation of so many Tory MPs from the mothership, that a new grouping of the Liberal, Social, Democratic and Conservative Party could emerge with a very considerable number of MPs?
Yes, I think it could. Because we don't have the proportional voting system you have in Ireland, politics in Britain develops in a rather different way under our very strange first-past-the-post system. But what I was working towards as party leader, and indeed very successfully, was to try to attract Social Democrats from the Labour Party and what we call One Nation Conservatives from the Conservative Party. The Conservatives in particular are in a very bad way. They're bitterly divided between what you could call the English National Party, a nationalistic right-wing party, and the old-fashioned pro-business, more liberal-minded conservatives, and they could split. The Labour Party have a Marxist-Leninist leadership and a Social Democratic membership. It's very unstable. So it's not difficult to see how the kind of configuration you describe could become a major new force, and the Liberal Democrats would be very much at the middle of it.
On that note, Sir Vince Cable, MP for Twickenham and former leader of the Liberal Democrats, thank you very much for joining us.